Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and welcome to our study of the incredible book of Acts. This is your book, remember that, the story of your family, your tribe. And in this chapter, chapter 22, we continue with the story of Paul's arrest on the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem. Now remember, he had been warned that this would happen. Everywhere along the way, as he traveled south toward Jerusalem, prophets would speak about it, and Christians would beg Paul not to go to Jerusalem, but he went in obedience to Jesus. And I believe it's important to notice that when Paul was actually arrested, he was doing nothing to cause a disturbance. He was not even preaching when the crowd swooped down on him and actually tried to kill him. He was not trying to self-fulfill those prophecies. He did not have a death wish, but he was ready in any situation to preach Jesus. And that's exactly what he was about to do. Now, we already have heard this story back in chapter 9 when Paul was saved, so we're going to move quickly through it, but take time to read the whole chapter carefully because there are a few new bits of information in Paul's story here. You know, I find that happens to my testimony too as I share it from year to year. I don't invent any new parts. I kind of remember some parts, but if the setting is appropriate, I will share details, sort of edit my story to help me connect with that group of people that are in front of me right there. Now, in verses 1 through 5, Paul skillfully and wisely identifies with this Jerusalem crowd. He calls them brothers and fathers. He speaks to them in their own language, Hebrew, and he reminds them that he is indeed a Jew from up north in Tarsus, but that he was actually brought up in Jerusalem and trained for ministry by one of the most respected rabbis, a rabbi by the name of Gamaliel. So respected was this rabbi that to this day, his thoughts on the Torah are quoted and compared with just a handful of other revered rabbis in that book called the Mishnah. Now, many of these Jewish men would have known Paul for years, so he reminds them how strict and zealous he was for the law and for the Lord, even to go so far as to viciously persecute those who were a part of what, in verse 4, he calls the Way. That's another common name for the Christian community in the first century. We were called the Way. Paul even calls on the current high priest and the council to fess up to how zealous and enraged he was toward these followers of Jesus. Now, compare Paul's Jewish claims in Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. They kind of overlay right here. You know, he was Jewish to the core. That was Paul. But then in verses 6 to 21, Paul tells the whole story of his conversion, and it's all there. The journey toward Damascus to round up more Christians, the blinding light from heaven, the falling to the ground, and that voice of Jesus questioning him in his old name, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then Saul answers, well, who are you, Lord? And then Jesus says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. He shares more of the dialogue with Jesus and tells about the blindedness from this intense encounter. And he shares how Ananias, who was a Christian that Saul had come hunting for, actually came to his rescue, receiving him as a brother and bringing healing to his eyes. He tells of his call to be baptized and of the beginning of a call to be a witness for Jesus Christ now, rather than a persecutor of his people. He explains that he's not quickly received, even believed by the Jerusalem Christians. And in verse 18, he tells his listeners that Jesus even appeared to him in a vision, telling him to get away from that city, flee the city, the same city he's now in, Jerusalem. Well, why flee? Well, Jesus tells him in the vision, because they will not accept your testimony about me. Wow, nothing has changed. Paul's having major trouble again, even as he speaks, but in his message before this crowd, he tells them that he sort of argued with Jesus. In verses 19 to 20, Paul tells the Lord in so many words, but Lord, they know my story. They know how I chased Christians from synagogue to synagogue, throwing them into prison and beating them up. They know that when Stephen was executed, I was giving my approval and guarding the garments of his killers. And then Paul does it. The next words will send this quiet crowd into a riot, a rage again. He tells them that at that point, many years ago, Jesus told him, quote, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles, end quote. Did you hear that word, Gentiles? Well, the crowd gathered down below in the court of the Gentiles began to scream and shout. They ripped off their cloaks and started throwing dust in the air, a way of casting a curse. They're just out of control. And the Roman commander, who's been watching all of this, commands his troops to take Paul into the barracks and have him flogged in order to try to beat the truth out of him. I love how Paul, who is ready to suffer, decides to pull the, "Hey, I'm a Roman citizen" card at this point. You see, it was unlawful to beat a Roman citizen who was not guilty of violating the law. So after a little chat with the commander, who realized he had already broken Roman law by binding Paul like a criminal without a fair trial, he has Paul unbound and calls together the Jewish council and the chief priests the next day in order to get to the bottom of this mess. Well, the chapter ends with this powerful council gathered and Paul being set before them. And Paul has to love this. He's being protected by the Roman soldiers. And again, he has a captive audience sitting before him. This is every preacher's dream, except maybe for the confinement. Well, the focal point of this chapter is the turnaround point, verse 21, where Paul says Jesus called him to go, "For I will send you far away to the Gentiles." You know, they're standing in the court of the Gentiles, but they throw a fit at the thought of a strategic mission to actually reach the Gentiles for Jesus Christ. Their rage seems so irrational and, of course, unbiblical. Remember, God had told Abraham at the beginning of Jewish history that he would both bless Abraham's family as well as let his family be a blessing to every nation of the world, all of those Gentiles. I wonder if we have broken through our own set of mental and social biases and boundaries to the point where we are actually embracing and engaging in God's plan to reach the whole world, every tribe, every language, every culture, every family. Remember, this was all set up when Paul begged the Roman commander, "Let him speak," rather than begging him, "Get me out of here." May your study of this chapter assist you in discarding bias and acquiring that same kind of boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. May he bless you as you study.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.